We continue in 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter. At this point in our study, Absalom, the son of David, has declared himself to be king. He has usurped himself to have control over the government. He did this at the city of Hebron, and the force is so great, he has so many people that are with him, until David is forced to leave the city. He's forced to leave Jerusalem, and actually to leave Israel on the west side of the Jordan River. And David is now in flight in the wilderness. He has some friends still in Jerusalem, the priests, Zadok and Abiathar, and their two sons. And so here he is in this wilderness area, waiting for his son Absalom to actually enter the city of Jerusalem and take over the reign of the nation. And while he is here, now in verse 31 of chapter 15, "And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." As we remember, Ahithophel was one of the consultants of David. He was one of David's counselors, and maybe recently he had a break with David, but for some reason or other he was no longer with David at this time, and he had gone down to Hebron to give counsel to Absalom. Now the news comes to David saying that Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. So this brings a lot of fear into David's mind, because this man Ahithophel is a wise man. He can give very sage advice, and when Absalom has him to give him counsel, then it greatly strengthens Absalom's ability. Of course, Absalom was the one who had gained the favor of the people. He was the one who was the renegade, the rebel, the one who was rebelling against his father's authority. But he needed a wise man like Ahithophel to guide him in how to handle these matters. And now David learns that he has Ahithophel. And so David said, "O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." So the first thing David does when he hears about this is that he prays. He prays to God. He prays that God will turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now he doesn't pray against Ahithophel. He doesn't ask that God do anything bad to Ahithophel himself, but that he turn his counsel into foolishness. That is, that Ahithophel would give such counsel that would be unwise. It would be something that would go against Absalom if he should follow it, or that the counsel of Ahithophel would be interpreted by Absalom to be something that would be foolishness, so that he wouldn't follow it. That it would nullify the wisdom of Ahithophel in the camp of Absalom. And so we see that it's always wise for us to turn to God in prayer. Anytime we have a problem, no matter how great, no matter how small, to turn to God to pray about it, and to pray for the minutest detail of it. David doesn't just pray for help here. He prays that the counsel of Ahithophel will be foolishness. And so he specifically asks God what he desires, what he wants. And so it's very appropriate for us to pray for details of the things that we want. And of course, if God doesn't want us to have this, he will not give it to us just because we pray for it. But nevertheless, it is appropriate and proper to do that. And that's what David does here. Now, verse 32 says, "And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God..." Now, let's pause here and notice that in the midst of all of this very crucial situation that David was experiencing, he took time out to worship God. He came up to the top of Mount Olivet, where we find our Savior years later, and here he rendered a worship to God. And it is most appropriate that we not only pray to God, but that we also give God the type of worship that he wants, do it in an appropriate time, this is time well spent. We have not wasted any time by taking time out to worship God. Even though we be under a lot of stress, even though it seems that every minute may have to count towards some other project that we're involved in, we must give due time to God. And that's what David does here. We find that the third psalm, according to its title, was written at this time, written while David was in the process of fleeing from Absalom, his son. And it may very well be that here upon Mount Olivet, while he paused to worship God, that he penned the words of this third psalm. And I'd like to read the third psalm at this time. "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy will. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. So is the third psalm, and it's most appropriate that we understand that David was under this very distress that we're reading about in this 15th chapter of 2 Samuel when he wrote that psalm. So here he is, he's come to the Mount of Olivet, and there he worshiped God. Well, while he's there, verse 32 further says, "Behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him." Now, Hushai was a close friend of David, a close confidant. And as a matter of fact, he, in all probability, has given David some very wise advice in the past. He is an Archite, and the Archites were a Benjaminite clan that was located near Bethel. So he came to meet David. He learned of David's acute distress, and he came to him at this time of need. And he was so distressed himself that he had his coat rent and earth upon his head. That is, he was in a state of sadness and mourning and shame also because of David's distress and because of the whole nation's distress now at the fact that their true king was having to flee for his life. He was now in a state of exile, and there was a usurper taking over the throne. Unto whom David said. Now, when this man came, when Hushai came, notice what David tells him. If thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. He tells him, you really can't be of any help to me here. The only thing that can happen if you go with me is just going to be more of a burden to me. Evidently, Hushai was not a soldier. He was not a warrior. He was not one who could help defend David against the onslaught of the men of Absalom. So he's just going to be a burden to David. But David shows him how that he can be a help to him. He can be a powerful tool working for David if he wants to cooperate. So verse 34 says, "But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant, then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel." So what he wants him to do is to go back to the city of Jerusalem and to approach Absalom and tell him that he's going to be his servant, that he now wants to be his follower, and that he wants to give him counsel or give him service just as he gave his father David service. And then once he gets into this position with Absalom, once he gains the confidence of Absalom, then he wants him to try to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. That is, he wants him to counteract the things that Ahithophel tells Absalom to do. And so Absalom will have two wise men giving him counsel, but one will be defeating the counsel of the other. Now also, if he can't defeat the counsel of Ahithophel, or if he doesn't actually go against this advice that Ahithophel gives Absalom, then he can at least get the message back to David, so David can know what they're planning. He has a very perfect spy here, right in the heart of Absalom's camp, right there in the palace with him. And David will be able to know all that they're planning to do through his spy, Hushai. Now, it's hard for us as humans to justify this action on David entirely because he is actually deceiving Absalom. However, we must remember that David had just prayed to God for help, for some way to turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness, and this may be something that God has sent then and planned for David to do, and this may be the act of God rather than the act of David. And since Absalom has lied and cheated and rebelled in order to usurp the authority that he has, then God will be perfectly free to pay him back in like kind. Verse 35, And hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abiathar the priests? So he's further telling Hushai how he may help. You're going to have the two priests there, and they're faithful to me, Zadok and Abiathar. And so he's telling him how that he can get the message to him when he learns of the plans of Absalom. Therefore it shall be that what things soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. So all Hushai has to do is to give the information that he has to Abiathar and to Zadok the priests, and then they're going to get the message to David. And he tells how that's going to happen in verse 36. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son, and by them ye shall send unto me everything that ye can hear. So this is the plan. Hushai is to learn all that he can learn about the plans of Absalom. He is to appear as a friend to Absalom, as a wise counselor who is there to assist him, just as he has in times past assisted David. But everything he learns, he tells to the priests, Zadok and Abiathar, and then these priests send the message out in the wilderness, in the desert, to David by their sons, Jonathan and Ahimaaz. And of course, it is thought that these two sons, since they are priests, would be allowed the free travel of the land. They wouldn't be interfered with because they would be looked upon as going about their ecclesiastical duties rather than assisting David. Verse 37 says, so Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. So now it seems that they both arrive into Jerusalem about the same time. And so Hushai is going to approach Absalom with the fact that he is his friend. He wants to assist him. But in reality, he's going to be a very clever spy planted there by David, so David can have intelligence as to what his plans are. And this is going to give David a great advantage in his severe problem here. I'd like to also take note of the fact that there's a great change taking place in Jerusalem. The throne is being occupied by a different person now. And we see how that in the course of kingdoms, how that different people, different personalities occupy the reign of the nations. Although the nation may remain essentially unchanged, the people who rule over these nations do change. And in this case, David's son, Absalom, has usurped the authority from David, forced David into exile, and so the complexion of things in Jerusalem is going to change because there is a new personality on the throne. So that ends the 15th chapter of 2 Samuel. We now move into the 16th chapter, and in the first part